Welcome, everybody. This is Module 10 of the Purpose Discovery Program. And this is the third of three parts of the Soul Quest ceremony. Part one, of course, was the preparation phase. Part two, the threshold experience. And the third is incorporation. Well, first of all, welcome back. Welcome back. It's so good to have you back. Well, what to say? You did something extraordinary. You took time away from your everyday life, the routine of your life, to dive into a deep, deep inquiry, and not just in your head, but with your whole being, your big mind, big heart, and big soul, with the wild planet itself. And you brought a very, well, poignant inquiry to the foreground. What do I do with this one wild and precious life, as the poet Mary Oliver put it? So you're listening to this in all likelihood on day two of the threshold ceremony. And day one, of course, was a day out on the land, exposing yourself to the forces of wild nature. And day two, you'll likely be spending a portion of your time outside. And what you want to do to begin with in the first part of the day is to simply be quiet. No friends, no screens, no reading, no pastimes, no games, no distractions, and just be. Sit outside on the deck, take a walk in nature, lie down on the couch, and take some time to absorb what you saw, what you heard, what you felt, what you sensed, what you imagined. Let it percolate, let it digest, metabolize what you received. Take a long time to do this, from the moment you wake up till late in the afternoon. And the next step, if you managed to make this work with everybody's schedule, is towards the end of the day, you have a soul circle where you tell your story to your people. And there's a whole 10-minute recording on that, so I won't repeat that here. And so now we come to the final piece of this week's work. So the first is just to take that second day, which is the second day of the threshold ceremony, which by the end of the day bleeds like a graded wash into incorporation. So here we go. You can follow along on the handout if you wish. I'll be riffing off of it. So I make the point in the beginning of the handout that being rewarded with a seed of insight, a seed of an image, is a beautiful and wondrous thing, but it is not identical to growing a soul-centric life. Being awarded, gifted, graced with an acorn of purpose isn't the same as growing into the mighty oak of your destiny. They are different. And it is quite easy, terribly easy, to raise the victory flag after accomplishing so much, challenging yourself by being alone in the wilderness and receiving something, if even only a whisper. It can feel like a completion, like a victory. And as a step, it is. So it's more than okay to feel good about what happened on day one of your threshold ceremony. You did it perfectly, really. There'll be doubts. There'll be skepticism. but I wouldn't give them too much credit. It's not just something I say to make people feel better. You literally can't do the threshold ceremony incorrectly. But now it's time to incorporate. And the first thing I want to say about incorporation is to put aside your preconceived notions of what a soul encounter means. A lot of times, people are waiting for a giant, mystical experience, fireworks that are unmistakable in their power and their origin. It's a story that Moses saw a burning bush. Of course, he saw it, you know, in the subtle sense, in the imaginimatrix. Right? It wasn't an actual bush that was on fire. But nonetheless, that's unlikely what happened to you. More often than not, soul whispers. And the interesting thing is it's actually been whispering all along. And you may have heard it and ignored it or dismissed it or distrusted it. And it's completely dependable and completely trustworthy. And that's really the central message that I bring to you. Ultimately, I'm not a teacher and I'm not a guide, though, you know, provisionally I use those terms. I'm a guy who points. And what do I point to? I point to the depth of wisdom that is indigenous to you, that has been your best friend always, and is completely trustable, and has been speaking to you endlessly, whether you recognized it or not. And it also spoke to you during the threshold ceremony. But again, and I never tire of saying this, it tends to whisper. So as you review and retell the story and feel into the experiences that you had on your day long, slow down. So let's say you were asking one of the octagon questions. You're asking, what is my gift? What is my giveaway? What is my unique transformational process? And just at that moment, some wildlife appeared, a lizard, an insect, a squirrel, or you noticed a tree stump to your left. So hover with your attention and hold the question and then the following moment simultaneously. Because the answer to your question, it may have been given, but now Your attention is what reveals the invisible ink. At first, you just were thinking, well, I asked the question, I received nothing. My eyes, you know, landed on a tree stump. And so, yeah, it didn't work. Maybe. I'm not absolutely determined to make every tree stump and every blade of grass into a teaching. But then again, I'm not opposed. In fact, I would encourage you to consider the possibility that nature has been speaking to you, the answers. That nature is an equal expression of consciousness as you are, and it has a way of informing and communicating and teaching you. So just be with it. What happens when you alight your attention upon the tree stump or the caterpillar or the insect or the squirrel or the sky that filled up your attention as you were contemplating what is my giveaway? And see if it gives up its secrets, but you'll have to be still. So here's my number one suggestion. In day two of the threshold ceremony, and then the following day, the first full day of your incorporation for the next year, simply be still. Stop and open to the connections, the bridge, the connective tissue between the question and what actually happened. Because technically speaking, you can't say nothing happened. There was the next breath. There was the next bird cry. There was the next rustling of leaves. And perhaps it'll be more spectacular than that. You know, just at that moment, a butterfly flew in front of your face and you felt a communication. So, you know, it can absolutely be more spectacular. But oftentimes it's quiet. So take your time with this part. And now we come to, you know, module 10 proper. And this is about growing the seed. This is about including and weaving into your life what you received. So imagine you've received a golden yarn. And you are to include it and weave it and knit it into your life. It's magic. It's luminescent. It's beautiful. It's good. It's true. It's psychoactive. It's supportive. It's impactful. But you could take the yarn and just throw it in your yarn basket and not use it. And let me tell you, I've brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people through this ceremony, and that does happen. You think, well, no one would do that. But they do. That's called homeostasis. I won't go into a big lecture on that. You've heard me talk about this a lot. One of the most powerful forces in the universe, homeostasis is. So how are you going to knit it? Will you knit it? Will you set time aside for the weaving of these golden threads into your life? This includes, you know, pretty practical things like opening up your day planner or your, if it's on your phone, just, you know, going to it and blocking out time to live and plan and metabolize what you've received. So I use a little, you know, attempt at a joke here with the Moses myth, right? So lucky him. It's really a great story because his people, the Israelites, were enslaved. They were slaves, right? Pre-purpose. And the sage of the story, the leader of the story, this is you, went off to do a vision quest on top of a mountain called Sinai, apparently, and he received a vision for his people. Some good stuff. he wrote it into stone tablets. Now, the thing is, as cool as that is, no one would, you know, be telling the story if he didn't bring them down to his people. And it was difficult. The story says the people had lost faith. They, you know, it's hard to give up slave mentality after however many decades or centuries of pyramid building. They had built a golden calf and decided to worship that. Does this sound familiar to you? The parts of us that worship success and fame and money. So if he didn't bring them down, if he didn't talk about them, if he didn't live them in the marketplace, then they wouldn't grow corn, as a Native American saying goes. So this is going to sound crass, but I think it's all right. He brought them to the marketplace. He sold them. Not for money. He shared what he received. He went to the tents. He went to the people. He went to where they were, you know, worshiping the golden calf. And he talked about what he received from the mystery. He shared it. That doesn't sound easy. I would not want to try to sell these commandments to a group of people who just come out of slavery. You know, it's just like, let them have their fun. So it's not always easy. So there's this choice point you have. You can live your purpose, or you can let it languish. And here are some of the ways you can let it languish. You can say, and there'll be a grain of truth in this, I don't have the time this week to embody my purpose. I've got a lot of cleaning to do. I've got to do the food shopping. The kids need taken care of. The pets need to be, you know, brought to the vet. I've got a 40-hour work week. I'm not feeling very well. I'm having some trouble with my sleep. And it's questionable whether I'll be able to make the mortgage payment or the rent. So, or maybe it'll just be, I don't think I'm ready. I think I need one more training before I live my purpose. Well, you know, maybe you do need to do another training, but don't wait to live your purpose until you've taken another training. Right? So this is coming out. Coming out is hard if you're gay in a straight world where way too many straight people will, you know, be prejudiced. And coming out as a soul-infused person in a default purpose society won't be easy. So I'm asking you, inviting you to make a commitment to marry what you found on the sacred mountain. Full on commitment. You know, if you have a child or a pet, that's that. You don't leave them. You know, divorce is possible in a marriage, but you don't really divorce your dog. I mean, I suppose someone does, but, or your child. So, let's get to the practices. Practice one, incorporation time. Schedule some time, minutes, hours, and days for incorporation practice. If you want to be a master piano player, you need to schedule some time to practice. If you want to have your marriage flourish, I'm, amongst other things, a marriage counselor. I call it the DTR, the Discuss the Relationship. And I require all the people, all the couples I work with, to do this. They can't just wait till they see me. So a DTR, Discuss the Relationship, means if you want your relationship to flourish, once a week or every other week, you've set aside an hour and you discuss the relationship at a deep level, not, you know, the taxes and so forth. So here's what I recommend. When the time is with minutes, just every so often declare out loud to yourself your purpose. Remember, feel, and metabolize in what you know to be true. Bring your purpose to the foreground of awareness. What we think about is very, very important. A lot of our thinking is pretty low grade, right? Think about sports, we think about celebrity gossip, and I'm not even beating up against them. But, you know, it's different than your soul level purpose. Make a practice of directing attention for several minutes, several times a day, to your purpose and breathe it in. Let it kind of begin to rewire you at a cellular level. Okay, so that's purpose minutes. Purpose hours is what I call office hours. The hours which you devote to incorporation, embodiment, constructing a life that supports and is an expression of your soul level purpose. So in your day planner, you can pause the recording now for today or for tomorrow. Put a place where there's an hour or two or more where it says soul purpose. And at the beginning of that, you'll decide how you're going to spend that time. This is really important. The feeding and nourishment of your relationship with soul. So imagine you got married, right? Big wedding ceremony. That's kind of what you did out on the land. And then you didn't really spend any time with your spouse. No meaningful time. You just kind of did the work of life. For the marriage to flourish, you actually have to spend quality time. Same thing with soul. It is a relationship. It's the primary relationship of your life. I know you love your children and animals and spouses. If you have one, two, or three of those, this is different. This is deeper. This is forever. And then the third part of this is incorporation days. Take some purpose retreats where you can take a deep dive into incorporation and then eventually embodiment and your giveaway. So that's incorporation time. All right, so we'll move on to practice two, incorporation place. I invite you to make a short reinvestiture ceremony with your purpose altar. Invite all your allies to gather in spirit at your altar, and then really feel into what it is that you want to do with what you know, and write a short letter of commitment, read it out loud at your purpose altar, and then every day for an entire year, reread the letter in front of your altar. Every day. So you're not just making an intention and then letting it go, like a New Year's resolution, right? You're making the intention and then you're leaning into it again and again and again. And you're practicing. You're practicing living your purpose. So this is the instrument of your life. It's not a piano or a violin. You are the instrument through which soul lets its wisdom speak. So you want to get to work. Prayer. compose your own prayer. You can take some of the pieces from the letter of commitment, and you can repeat this once a day, twice a day, three times a day. These are things to come back to again and again so you don't forget. This is the big point of this module. Amazingly, it is easy to forget. Moses can come down from the mountain. I'm hungry. Well, okay, that's reasonable. Now I need to go to the bathroom. Yeah, there's some business I didn't take care of with Aaron and Jonathan, so I'm going to go to hit their tent and just, you know, how's the water situation? Well, that sounds important. I'll check in with my wife. How about my kids? I'm tired. That was a really tiring vision quest. I think I just want to play. So whatever the frisbee or ball of the day is. And on it goes. And before you know it, you know, Moses is thinking, yeah, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll unveil the tablets tomorrow. You get the point. All right, last piece. I want you to revisit, for the third time, actually, the practices in Module 6. 6.4, simplifying your life. Because you really want to make sure that you don't fall back into life 1.0. There are relationships, activities, there are roles, there are possessions, there are beliefs that are ready to be composted to make room for the flourishing of the seed of your purpose. Good luck growing the seed of your purpose in the weed bed of hanging out with people who don't bring you alive, watching too much Netflix and YouTube and Facebook and all the rest, and closets stuffed with stuff you haven't touched in a year. Same thing goes with all the stuff you eat and all of that. So that's it. That's the module. So welcome back. Your vision, even if it's just a whisper, and it probably was, is needed. Just look at the news and global warming or some other terrifying issue, and you'll know that your purpose is needed. And there's a contribution to be made. Right? Joanna Macy calls this the great turning. Maybe you're called to do some frontline activist work, which she calls holding actions. Maybe you're called to support structural change, maybe in government. Maybe you're to be a teacher or a guide and help shift consciousness. And maybe it's none of those. Maybe it's just being useful in some way. Never underestimate the power of 7.4 billion people doing something that's useful. It's highly unlikely that your impact and the size of the stage on which you're going to live your purpose will equal Gandhi's or Martin Luther King Jr.'s, etc. But it's not a competition. It's about fulfilling your destiny. So allow this desire, this passion for being useful and showing up to express itself more than you ever have before. And as I'm fond of saying, live in that place where your deep joy and gladness and the world's need and hunger meets.